This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you ka-ching. Ka-ching. Come on, guys, we talked about this. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. What I love about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. You want to grow big? Shopify. You want to grow small? Shopify. You want to grow medium rare? Also Shopify. Shopify powers 10% of all commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 80, sponsored by Comicole and Netflix. Welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. This is episode 80.
Jesus Christ.
My
Dick
name
Clark
is
Clark episode.
My name is Connor. I'm here with Ron and Josh.
Howdy.
Hi. How's it going?
How you doing?
I'm hot.
Wait, you weren't talking to me, were you? You're hot?
It's hot, dude.
It is.
It is. Not yet, though.
It's pretty hot. We are iFanboy. We like comics. We read comics. Every week we read a bunch of comics. We pick the best one. We write about it on the website. Then we come to the podcast, and we talk about that one and the other comics of the week and other things.
Comics.
You think people mouth along with that part at this point? Like, people have been listening for a long time?
We should let our listeners record the intros for us.
Good.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, send it in.
Yeah, okay. So anyway.
So this is the show for this week's books. If you haven't read your books yet, there's going to be spoilers. So pause the show, come back later. You'll thank us later and enjoy the show that much more. Ron has the pick. Take it away, Ron.
All right. So, it was actually a really good week for comics, actually. I was really excited when I saw the shipping list. And, you know, and I'm sure the folks who went to iFanboy.com and saw my pick of the week on Wednesday in my review – those who listen to the show, and I'm sure you guys too, probably just kind of rolled your eyes and said, well, it was just a matter of time before Nova number 2, the new ongoing Nova series, got picked as the pick of the week.
I figured let you have your fun until it gets canceled.
Yeah. You wooed me, sir.
Well, the thing is, it's not like I got my stack of books. I said, oh, I'm going to pick Nova and talk about Nova, because I take this seriously, and I'm not going to pick it if it's not good, you know. And if it was, for example, if you want to go back in time and look up the Nova series from 1994, that was not good. And I wouldn't have picked that because it just wasn't good. But essentially, just a real rundown of what this is that we didn't talk about it much over in the past year because there's a lot of other stuff going on. But Marvel had a little event going on called Annihilation, which was kind of like their science fiction kind of cosmic-y event over the summer. And Nova, who was originally a member of the New Warriors in the early 90s, was a part of that because his character is basically – the origin of the character started in the 70s. The character is basically a
Green
mix,
Lantern.
A mix of Green Lantern and a little Spider-Man. because he's a teenager. He was a Long Island teenager. He had to deal with the secret identity. You know,
so he's Kyle Rayner.
Yeah. Well, no, but he's not an artist. He's Kyle Rayner without any talent. So, So he gets pulled into space because his Green Lantern-esque powers are kind of space-based, and he was part of that whole Annihilation thing. I'm not going to recap Annihilation. The trades are starting to come out. I strongly recommend it. I thought it was one of the most underrated events in all of comics last year. I thought it was really, really good if you like that kind of thing. And I enjoyed it. So, but coming out of Annihilation, he is now the last of the Nova, He's merged with the supercomputer of the Nova Corp, the World Mind, who's now in his helmet and talks to him. And he's been in the first issue that came out. That was pretty good. He was running around the galaxy trying to help everybody in the aftermath of Annihilation, and was really getting tired and really wearing himself out. And then it ended with him kind of crash landing on Earth, and that's where this issue picked up. And the reason why this issue or this title and why I'm so excited about it is because there are a lot of people who have a strong affinity for this character. There are a lot of Marvel zombies and Marvel fans and stuff like that who really like him back in the day, from the 70s. And by the way, there's a great Marvel Essentials Volume 1 that collects all the old Marv Wolfman Nova issues. I think it was Marv Wolfman.
Yeah.
That was just great to lay a basis for it. And the problem is that in the past 30 years since the character's been invented, he's never grown as a character. He's never moved beyond. He's kind of like a Green Lantern ripoff with a little bit of Spider-Man mixed into it. And what they've done now is, at least what I think is in the series, is that we've got the beginnings of an actual maturity of the character and actually forward movement.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, which I thought deserved a little attention. The writers on it, Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, did a great job here by bringing him back to Earth. He's been gone for about a year. He goes to his parents' doorstep. It's his parents straight out of the 70s series, his dad with the goatee, kind of like a dad disapproving father and arguing with him and that sort of thing. His dad even said, "What in blue blazes," which was awesome. And so he's trying to explain to him what he's been through, and they're just like having dinner, like it's like pathetically normal, while he's like in his costume eating a home cooked meal, and they're filling him in on what happened with Civil War and the New Warriors, and then all of a sudden Iron Man and the Helicarrier is at his doorstep, wanting to bring him in, and then there's a classic scene that's literally only two pages where Iron Man and Nova kind of compare notes. And Iron Man explains everything that happened and what happened with the Superhero Registration Act and why he's with S.H.I.E.L.D. and why they needed Nova to register now and all this kind of stuff. And then he goes, but, you know, he kind of asks him, he's like, well, where have you been? What are you talking about? And so Nova tells him about the entire Annihilation War. And it was this great contrast between what, you know, kind of the isolationist feeling of Earth and their superheroes and the Civil War and the grand scope of the universe and what happened with the Annihilation War. And, you know, so at one point, you know, Iron Man's going on about how hard it was and all the fighting that they had to do in the prison and the negative zone and all this kind of stuff. And Nova's just saying, you know, hey, you know, Quasar died in front of me. Even Thanos died. He's like, you didn't hear about this? And it was just kind of, you know, the kind of question that I've been asking for the past year. Like, how can this event be going on in the Marvel Universe and not hit our heroes?
Wait, Quasar died?
Quasar's dead, yeah.
Yeah, how could no one care about that?
Josh has a surprise for you.
What is it?
I really liked your review, and I went out and bought both issues.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I really quite enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yay!
Although, you know what's funny
comic
is that
you keep
saying, I don't know if it's growth, it may be regression, you keep saying comparing Kyle Rayner. I really, because I enjoyed the fact that you pointed out that he was kind of grown up because he's grizzled.
Yeah.
And I really felt, I was like, boy, you know, he's reading a little bit like I would like to see Hal Jordan get written.
Interesting. I want to make a note that I never said Kyle Rayner. Connor said Kyle Rayner.
I just said that the setup is like...
yeah.
No, I mean, it's absolutely, completely Green Lantern. I mean, that's what it is.
But for some reason, I've never thought that or made that connection. Or it's never sullied my reading of it. For something, something's a little different.
Well, big deal. Like, it doesn't matter. It's all, like, premise doesn't even matter anymore. Because really, isn't this basically the same? It's kind of almost the same as Invincible. There's, you know, there's an alien race, there's power. And it's not that. It's about the story that goes on around it because his father betrayed him or whatever. The story here is, like, there's this guy who was this kid who was nobody. And he comes back, and his parents are like those parents from Scorsese movies.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, you're ruining my life. And, like, yep. You know, they don't want to hear...
And that's exactly how they were characterized back in the 70s, which
right.
is awesome.
That's
yeah.
cool. Well, they don't want to hear anything about what he's doing. He's trying to be like, I did this. And he's like, you're hurting your mother. No. I liked it that he was like... And I read both issues, so I'm sort of not sure which one's from which. But he felt sort of put upon, but he's like, I have to keep going.
Yeah, that was the first. That was the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I mean, even like in this one, he's like, he can't take the suit off. He can't.
Right. Yeah.
He's feeling a lot of weight on his shoulders, and he's deciding
to go
with
it. Why can't
he
take the suit off?
Because he's contaminated with some virus that takes 6 weeks to cycle through. He's got
really?
the suit. Yeah, it says. He says.
I thought it.
If I take the bodysuit off, I risk contaminating Earth with Skrull flu, KDH, and something Badoon you don't even want to hear about. Suit stays on a minimum of 6 weeks.
I thought it was that because he has the other part is that imagine that all of the Green Lanterns get killed, and then the Owen power battery.
Yeah.
And all of the what are they called? The little blue dudes.
Guardians.
The Guardians are all absorbed into the Green Lantern ring. Like,
yep.
That's where he's at right now. He's got the whole Nova Corps. Civilization, basically, inside his helmet.
And what's great about that is that he's also really super. He's amped up with power.
Yeah.
And so what happened was they bring Diamond Head, who was one of his original villains from the 70s, and Diamond Head finds out he's back in town and comes back looking for payback because he's been in jail for 30 years or 20 years or 10 years or whatever. And Nova kicks the crap out of him. Like, the fight's in one page.
Yeah,
like,
without even thinking.
Yeah, Nova zaps off his hand and then takes him to the cops, and it shows that this is a different Nova.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I really liked it. I miss Sean Chen. I hadn't seen him in a while. He used to do Iron Man when I was reading it a long time ago.
He was caught up in the X-Men The End.
I really liked, I thought Iron Man was good in this because everybody's drawn and written Iron Man as a huge jerk, and in this, I think he comes off more as the pragmatist.
Yep.
Rather than just an asshole, I think, and it's a fair interpretation of him. I would say this is pretty good. Somebody else mentioned something about, this goes back into space. I may not like it as much, and I can sort of echo that a little bit. But I love the fact that he's walking around completely tired, and he's overwhelmed by everything he has to do, but he's got no choice. I can relate to that.
Yeah, and the thing is that ultimately that should carry through because, you know, the Nova Corps isn't going to get – I mean, I imagine what's sad is that I can predict what's going to happen. He's going to stay on Earth maybe another issue or two and then say, you know, this is too small potatoes for me. I belong out in the stars, and he's going to leave Earth. And then he's going to still be running around trying to save people but then also trying to rebuild the Nova Corps. That's what I think is going to happen next. So,
And then finally, I just wanted to make the last bit is, you know, the Thunderbolts show up, which is kind of dumb because –
Well, there's the Speedball connection.
Right. No, I know that, and which I think that's interesting, and maybe it will get him out of this stupid suit. Yeah. But, like, he already talked to Tony, and Tony's in charge of everything, so...
Yeah, why would there be a miscommunication? Yeah,
but the other thing, I was just looking at this, and I really think how much more fun... I think the Thunderbolts would be much more fun showing up in this capacity rather than having their own book, almost.
Kind of like the Punisher was for years.
A little bit, yeah. I will. I mean, I'm not really going to talk about the Thunderbolts at all. But I actually didn't pick it up this week because I was sort of on the fence, and the store was sold out, and we went somewhere else. I picked it up and I flipped through it. And I said, I just don't really want to read it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But like in this, I was like, see, this is kind of good. It's the spice, but like.
Yeah, I can see that point. So.
But no, I did like it. I thought you wrote a really good review that made me
want to
read it.
Wow.
You know, you said that the last one was really good, and I was like, whatever. Sometimes the first issues are a lot of fun.
Yep.
You know, but then, like, the story actually starts after that, and you're kind of left cold. So the fact that there was two in a row, I really dig the covers. I like the covers a lot.
Yeah, the cover was really good. And I'm not too sold on Nova's new uniform, but I understand it's a change and a difference or whatever. And it harkens back to the original. It would really bother...
The helmet gets all floppy.
Yeah, I don't like how. Well, no, I don't like how the helmet kind of fans out and gets kind of sharper. I don't know, but whatever.
When he takes it off, it gets all floppy.
Oh yeah, well, it's always done that. It like folds up in his back pocket, which I don't understand how that works. But,
it's like the Flash's suit going to the ring. Did you guys see the cover of number 5 they released today? It's a female Nova.
Yeah, Novette.
I wonder what that means.
I don't look at it.
Oh no, the human Rocket. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
That's backing up my guess that he's probably going to be rebuilding the Nova Corps.
Hot chicks,
wouldn't you?
You know me, I would.
So all right, get on to something else.
But well, yeah, well the book that came in a very close second for me was Green Arrow number 74.
It was very good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And
what a good time to pull the plug.
I know, which is just like, it's getting yanked out from under us. It's really good.
I love the fact that, Ollie is back with Dinah.
And doing it a lot.
Wouldn't you? I mean,
oh, you know what? They're doing it.
Doing it a lot. I mean, you get back together with the love of your life after years and years and years apart, you're going to spend a weekend in bed.
40 hours.
Yeah, you never done that?
Jesus.
All I think is just skin burn.
Well, you're not doing it right then.
Do it enough.
This issue really reinforces the whole idea that the Batman Green Lantern parallel, that they both got these families. Yeah. I love that DC's doing that with the, sort of the street level guys, is that they can't do it alone, so they've got this whole support system.
Well, there's that one page towards the end before the last big fight where it's like all four of them all ready to go, you know, and it was just like, and it was like all coordinated and slick and everything, and it was like, damn, you know, so.
And you know, Ollie and Dinah are really, they're one of the like the classic DC couples.
Yeah,
and they've been apart for a long time.
And I love how they got together was they were fighting over the fight.
Yeah.
Like, over what happened, and it was, like, intense. I was like, Jesus, you know, like, it was, like, and it was getting cold, it was getting hard, and it was, like, you know, and then all of a sudden, the next you turn the page, and they're making out. It was awesome.
Well, that's also totally their relationship.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
So you're saying?
Yeah.
Icy hot tack. They, that's their relationship. I mean, they're the kind of couple that gets off on fighting and arguing.
Yeah.
But you're right, and this is the, it's not sad, because people are talking like the book is over, and the book...
Isn't the next book
game over? But I mean,
the title is over. But Judd has said their story isn't over.
Well, isn't the next book like Green Arrow and Mockingbird? Or not? I'm sorry,
Mockingbird.
Well, because I was thinking of Hawkeye.
I know.
Yeah.
Why would
you be thinking of Hawkeye?
I don't know. I don't know.
Tease.
Hawkeye and Mockingbird could be not at all related to Green Arrow and Black Canary.
Well, I mean, they said there's going to be some miniseries first, and then I guess I don't know. But it's continuing in some capacity, so it's not ending so much as reinventing.
It's an excuse to get a number one out of it.
Yeah, basically.
To kind of rejigger it. But 75 issues isn't a bad run. I mean,
no,
that's
this has been a really good run, actually. Let's talk about a solid superhero book for 75 issues. You had Kevin Smith, you had Brad Meltzer, and you had Jen Winnick.
I don't think there was a down point in this book at any point. I have all 75 issues, or I will have all 75 issues, and it was great, so...
I've dropped it twice.
The only thing is, there was a couple of panels in this issue where the art was a little off. I normally love Scott McDaniel, but like if you look at the page where they go back at it, and there's the all white background.
Yeah.
Like if you look at their arms. Like,
yeah, I see that. Yeah. That's like a Josh comment. Oh my god, I didn't notice her arms. She looks like a dinosaur.
Yeah, and then look at Ollie's arm too. It's flat. Yeah. It's just weird. But other than that, I like Scott McDaniel. I'm going to be sorry to see him go from this book. He does a really good Green Lantern. I'm really hyped up for the next issue. That's a great, you know, that's the last page where you go, oh, man, what's going to happen?
You're right there?
I'm okay.
He does it in real life much more exuberantly.
Yeah! Oh, Green Arrow is one of my favorites, and I'm happy he's being handled well. Judd really gets him.
Yeah.
Really, really, really gets him.
So,
I don't care for Brick so much, but.
Yeah. Well, I like Brick, actually. I like that character. He's been good. So he's had a good little arc with it.
I really like Green Arrow versus Deathstroke for some reason. I don't know why, because it's not really a traditional matchup. But there is the connection between him and Roy. So it's kind of like going after the father of your you know, one of your enemies. But I like their matchup.
Yeah. All right. So the other book that was in close contention was, believe it or not, Marvel Zombies Dead Days.
Really?
The one shot.
I loved it.
This was a letdown.
Why?
It was a whimsical romp. I thought it was a blast. It was just fun.
I thought the magic was lost on it.
Oh, really? Well, what I thought was interesting was that neither of you read the Marvel Zombies Army of Darkness miniseries that's going on right now, did you?
Well, I picked it up and I leafed through it and I thought, no, I don't.
I bought the first issue and I didn't buy anything else because it didn't feel right.
Well,
reading this felt right.
I really wanted to like this. I was really excited that it was coming out, and I want to like what Robert Kirkman does, and I love Sean Phillips, and I just couldn't quite wrap my head around it because it felt...
Something was off.
Well, yeah. It was really fast. I mean, it was really fast.
I think it was too close to the miniseries in terms of story. It felt like I'd read everything already.
Well, there wasn't really a story.
What I mean is the events that happened in the original series only took place like the day after this one, and everything that it's kind of like, all right, I read all this already. You know,
the other thing is, I really felt like I'm loath to say it because I'm a huge fan, but like I don't think Sean Phillips' art was at its best.
No, it wasn't at all.
And you know he's great, and this didn't feel like it. Just and maybe you know he's between because I know he's doing Criminal, so maybe he had to rush this one out or something. Yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean I didn't buy it. I read Josh's copy, but it was just I didn't regret not buying it after I read it. I was like, all right,
hey. Anytime you got a two-page spread of Gathering of Heroes, I'm good.
You're so easy.
But now here's the thing, though, and here's my one criticism that I knew would drive you guys crazy. I know this takes place in an alternate universe. I know this isn't on 616.
Oh,
I know
God.
That. But my problem was is that throughout all the different groupings of heroes, there were anachronisms left and right. There was misaligned time periods of costumes.
That doesn't make a difference.
It's not Earth 1.
I know, not 616, not Earth 1, that's DC.
I know that, and I did it on purpose.
But, I know that, I recognize that, and that's the out, but it was dry, because I'd turn a page and I'd be like, wait a minute, you know, they can't, you know, they weren't in that costume until much later.
I like that. They got to just pick and choose his favorite interpretations of each costume.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. That's like the Avengers Forever miniseries that Busiek did, where he said basically he took all his favorites and put them together.
Right, but that made sense because they're all plucked from time.
What is this?
No, I know. I told you this was going to drive you guys crazy. I'm not saying
that.
He wasn't
kidding.
I know. I'm just saying that it struck me funny when I saw misaligned costumes with time periods.
As you flip through it, especially as you get near the end, you really see the art take a dive.
Yeah.
The shots of Ben Grimm especially is like really strange, and then Nick Cage. He's just Nick Cage.
He gets it everywhere. You know what? My biggest problem that I kept thinking throughout the entire book was, all right, the original series, the shit started to hit the fan. They were already all screwed. Yeah. This one, they've got a big army of heroes that haven't been contaminated, and I'm looking at that group. I'm thinking, there's no way that this grouping is going to lose. A couple of those people could just wipe out all of the zombies.
Well, they made a good point.
Cosmic power. I mean, a bunch of guys just blew them away with their beams. I mean, it made no sense that they would lose, and I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, you have to with the concept, but I mean, if you have to go within the reality of the story, and the reality of the story is that grouping would never get eaten by zombies.
When you finished, you said to me that a lot of people aren't going to like that.
I thought because they really made Reed even more of a dick. I mean, it's like drag Reed down here.
Came from out of nowhere, though.
Yeah.
Like, why did he go crazy? Why was that? Like, what was
before, I think, would be really pissed off about this comic because, I mean, Reed has been made, you know, quasi-evil in the Civil War series, and now he's just, like, totally evil in this book.
There's a certain interpretation that Reed is a little off-kilter. Like, yeah. Reed just goes a little too far, and I can see that. Yeah.
This is just a horrible decision.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. There's a page in here, and Black Bolt is fighting with Namor.
See, Black Bolt could wipe every zombie
Well, that's
out.
My question. Is Black Bolt, is he a zombie? Because he's got that fight won.
That's my point. He's got the whole fight won. That's why I kept thinking through the entire book. It's like, come on.
He just needs to chug a Dr. Pepper. Boom, you're done.
Exactly. That's the kind of thing that annoyed me about this. That's why I didn't like it.
Well, I think my problem with the costumes is a bit better than worrying about who's going to win in a fight. I mean, that's the story. I mean, that's the whole point.
No, it's not. If you've got Black Bolt versus an army of zombies,
this is the man who says Batman will beat anybody.
Batman will beat anybody.
I don't buy it. He's just a man.
Black Bolt just utters a word and all the zombies disintegrate. So
Batman versus Black Bolt. Batman versus Black Bolt.
I think.
Batman, obviously, but I mean...
No! You're just... Black Bolt!
Could Black Bolt win? Yes, but Batman would...
But he wouldn't, yeah.
But the point is that's what took me out of the story. It wasn't the costumes, it wasn't anything. It was the fact that they had people losing to a bunch of mindless zombies that would never lose to mindless zombies.
Well, I think the point is that it was so easy to get turned, you know what I mean? Like the Fantastic Four just got one little prick. You're saying that's all it takes? You know, and then the one point when Fury was saying, you know, every time we lose one, they gain one.
Yeah.
You know, so I could see it happening that way. I agree with you that there's a lot of power in that room, but you know, fucking zombies, man.
No,
you know?
the thing is,
a different set of rules.
They didn't lose.
Yeah.
You know, they lost because Reed turned.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but they were all getting eaten. I mean, eventually they were going to lose regardless of whether Reed turned.
Yeah.
Were against them.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, I enjoyed it. It was a fun, I mean, I didn't take it very seriously, so it was fun. You know,
like, well, that's the thing is, I didn't either, and I just like the original Marvel Zombies, I didn't take that seriously at all. It didn't make any sense, and I was just having fun with it and rolling with it, but for some reason, I just couldn't get there with this, and I really wanted to.
Yeah.
I think that's it. So.
All right, so,
My pick of the week was Countdown.
Was it?
Yeah, 51.
I was really curious to see. So is the cover treatment going to change every week to the number that it is?
Possibly.
That's pretty cool. Anyway.
Maybe good. Who are these people?
Superman?
What do you mean?
In the story, Superman wasn't in the damn thing.
Well, seriously, you want to go through every character?
No. I mean, but like, did you know who
Jokerette
woman was? And
I'd never seen her before, but I went with it. She's the Joker's daughter from another planet. Okay, from another Earth. Easy, done. Move on.
Well, right, but is she on Earth 1 now?
She was, but then the whole point of the the whole thing is that we're setting up. The monitors from the Crisis on Infinite Earths are apparently setting out to correct the time stream, which was just split up in 52.
Mm-hmm.
She's not supposed to be on Earth 1. I think there's even a mention of it on here that she's from another planet.
Yeah.
And so the monitor shows up and kills her because she's not supposed to be there.
Right. I guess my question was, I thought that at the end, like, they weren't mixed up already, so what was she doing there already and what happened, and I don't know.
No, they are mixed up.
Oh, okay.
The byproduct of Infinite Crisis was that all the Earths are merged into one. Mm. And then Connor, correct me if I'm wrong, the byproduct of 52 was that they split the Earths back into multiple Earths, but there are remnants of people in the wrong places.
Yeah, okay. There's pieces of the puzzle that are all mixed up. They're jumbled. Yeah.
Why they have to get killed? I don't know.
Well, the monitors are extreme.
I know. Why can't they say, hey, let's take you back to your planet?
But also, I mean, we don't know the full extent of the problem.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great... I mean, for me, it was a really exciting setup issue. I love the fact that the Flash's rogues were just hanging out.
Yeah.
And they had beer and pizza.
Yeah.
And they refer to themselves as rogues.
And in their
costumes. Well, they always have, yeah. Right. It's awesome. I love the trickster.
And, you know, I thought for me it was just an exciting place. The idea that there's a problem with the time stream, that the monitors are trying to fix it, but then there's a schism within that. And somehow Ray Palmer's got to... going to have to be the linchpin in all of it.
That was pretty cool.
You know, what's pretty interesting is that Connor said this would be his pick of the week, and one of the main characters is Jason Todd. That's no small thing.
Well, I have a question about Jason Todd.
Yeah.
The last time I saw Jason Todd, he was dressed up as Nightwing.
We went over this. God.
Was that long ago?
That was 6 months ago. He tried to be Nightwing, and Dick Grayson showed up and kicked his ass, and now he's Red Hood again.
Oh, I see. So when does this take place?
We're not doing this.
I'm serious. Does this take place right after 52?
No.
Right,
this is a year later.
Oh, God.
We're all caught up.
everything is at the same keel now. Everything.
But isn't it next year then?
No.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Okay, so when 52 came out, that was a year ago. That told this past year.
Yes.
And then 1 year later was a year after the end of 52.
Right.
And so this takes place at the end of 1 year later, or at the end of 52?
It takes place along with all the other DC books that come out.
Right now.
Okay, Dan DiDio.
This is the spine of the DC universe, as Dan DiDio said at the convention. This is going to tell the overview of the whole, you know.
So this takes place after 1 year later?
1 year later was only that first month.
It's like Battlestar Galactica.
No, that's all fucked up.
That's happening a year from now. It's happening right now, even though they skipped a year. It's a story.
No, in Battlestar Galactica, they say 2 years later. They tell you when it is.
But one year later is.
1 year later.
Right, but when does the countdown start?
Right now.
Countdown is current. Every book that came out is current countdown.
So DC jumped a year, basically.
Yes, in their 50 time stream, they jumped a year.
Okay, that's all I'm clarifying. That's all. So this doesn't take place right after 52?
No.
Okay, so Montoya scraped the thing off a year ago. Scraped the bat signal off a year ago. That's all I'm looking for. Some people might be curious about that. That is what bothers me.
Well, not a year ago, 6 months ago.
What?
You lost me there.
52 ends at the beginning of 1 year later. It fills.
And 1 year later lasted a year.
1 year later. It hasn't been a year since 1 year later happened.
Yeah, it has. Saying?
No, it hasn't.
Didn't 1 year later and 52 start at the same time?
They did. That was 52 weeks ago.
I'm confused.
1 year. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, whatever, fine.
All I want to know is whether
this is the last episode of iFanboy.
You know what? Time, doing this damn show, telescoping time, it's just moving so quickly.
It's painful.
Yes. 1 year ago, she scraped off the bat signal. Batman came back.
Good, I'm done. I enjoyed it. I loved it. I'm on board. All 52 weeks. Let's go. Woo! Countdown.
The art was good.
The art was great. A marked improvement from some of the stuff we got from
maybe
most
they
52s.
Maybe they listened to us.
And I'm a sucker for any story that involves Darkseid as a bad guy.
Yeah, I love Darkseid.
I don't think he's used enough as a big, like, scary bad dude.
Well, you don't want to use him too much. I could see that. I could argue that.
I couldn't tell you the last time I read a Darkseid story. I mean, it's been a long time.
Rock of Ages.
Yeah, but that was in college.
Right. Well, that was a long time ago.
What happened to Mary Marvel? You know, right?
Josh, I have no idea.
When the Shazams shifted and Captain Marvel became the wizard, and I think he ended up with all of the powers, whoever Captain Marvel Jr. is, I can't think of his name, he lost the powers, but he's sort of trying out to be the new Captain Marvel.
Right. So she
lost her powers. There is no Mary Marvel right now, as far as I know.
So that's why she's in a coma.
Yep.
Gotcha. So she's just Mary Batson. Got it. Okay.
Mary Batson.
That's all I needed to know.
Right. Because the Captain Marvel Jr. guy was crippled. He has bad legs. It's a course of getting the Captain Marvel powers that's starting to fix his legs.
Oh, we wanted to mention right before right before we finished talking about the books was that we got an email from Christopher in Stillwater, Oklahoma, who he's emailed a lot. He's a well-known dude. And he's got a blog about Countdown. If you're reading Countdown, you want to follow along or you need help with annotations or characters or such, he's going to be blogging the series. So
awesome.
If you want to go, it's called howwascountdown.blogspot.com. Which I'm not going to spell, but howwascountdown.blogspot.com. He's going to update it every Wednesday or Thursday, possibly Saturday. And
we'll post a link in this in the show notes so you can get to it.
But
so.
if you're one of those people who don't know who Dwella is or Jason Todd, but you want to keep reading, then that's probably a good place to go. He's going to have spoiler-packed analysis of each issue. So.
And the show notes, by the way, are where you can go and see when we talk about things. Also, if you've ever wondered what the music is, they're always there.
Yeah, go to ifanboy.com. There's a post about the podcast, and you can go there and you can see what the music is, as well as the other links and pertinent stuff that we talk about on this year's show.
See, so. I think we were all shocked to find out that Ronan was, in fact, David Mack, as Ron predicted.
I,
for a moment there, right before I opened it up, I thought it was going to be the guy that does that David Mack website.
I called this one immediately.
We called it 6 months ago.
I know,
it was the most
obvious answer, and they went on a six-month-long disinformation campaign.
Right, and it's like funny. It's like this might be the only thing we were ever right about. I think, and I'm sure other podcasts and other websites and other people on message boards called it too because it was fucking obvious as the nose on your face.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, oh man, just don't do it when we all figured it out.
It was so anticlimactic. Oh.
Yeah, so anticlimactic. Really, really bad. But I love the art in this though.
Yeah,
the art. And we're talking about New Avengers number 30, by the way. Oh, ouch.
Ouch. Somebody turned 30 this week.
On comic book day. How painful. Anyway, I thought the art was great and the story continued really well, but I was just like, I had such a distaste that it was Hawkeye. I was like, oh, god damn.
As soon as you walked the door, I went, oh no, they did it.
I don't care. Like, it should have been Hawkeye, though.
I know, but.
I'd rather just be Hawkeye.
You know, I love this character. This is like one of my favorite Marvel characters going back to when I first started reading comic books.
Right, yeah.
And what I don't want is a long period of him being grim, depressed Clint Barton.
Yeah, no.
Well, be Hawkeye.
America's dead. He's like his.
Well, the speech about Captain America that he made, I thought was great.
No, it's fine. I can go with this for a little while, but like, make him Hawkeye. Make him the thing that people liked about him.
But the thing is that he's still Clint Barton. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's the whole character, and that whole thing about why aren't they, you know, storming Avengers Tower and sticking it to Tony
that was great. That was awesome.
You know, and I'm going to honor Captain America's world and blah, blah, blah. You know, I thought that was great. You know, putting him in the Ronin costume, I don't know. You know,
I hope he doesn't stick with it.
Yeah. Although I did have the laugh but when right before they go back to Japan and it's just like him like what? Like a ninja? I thought that was a good line. That was really good.
Again, this came up somewhere else. People were asking for good Spider-Man books that are going on right now.
He was so good in this book.
I loved Spider-Man in this book. I have since issue number one.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's pretty much the same as Ultimate Spider-Man and that's why. But he's older, and he's just, like, he's fun in this book in a way that...
He's hilarious in this book.
Yeah. I liked how heavy Cage was, and when they were talking to Clint, and he's like, you know, Wolverine's trying to recruit him, and he's like, no, stop it, don't, no. and they just do it anyway. I thought that was good. I like how this team, like, every now and then you feel as if Luke is the leader, but then the team makes decisions for themselves as, like, a group. You know, I think it's a really dynamic, interesting group that I don't think we've ever seen this type in Marvel
and
before.
It feels like they haven't really gelled together. They're just like, well, we're still all here together right now.
Yeah.
But they're not really anything official. I really dig this team a lot more than Mighty Avengers.
Yeah.
Not that I think Mighty Avengers is bad, I think the dynamic in this book is more to my taste. It's more fun.
Yeah. I just don't know why he's not Hawkeye anymore. Like, I just don't understand. He didn't give a reason why he won't be.
We don't
Hawkeye
know what
anymore.
Was in the closet.
All right, true, yeah.
So yikes. Maybe it was like the old naked lady and she was holding his costume and he can't put it on now.
Rubbing it all over her skin.
Yeah, like he's too weirded out and he won't put it on.
Oh, God. But it was good. It was good.
Or she was wearing it.
So the last book that I want to talk about this week was the sixth issue of Phonogram, the final issue of that miniseries that that I raved about when it first came out, finally came out after delays and stuff like that.
Kieran Gillen and Jimmy McKelvey.
Yeah, out of Image. Now, Connor, you weren't reading it. Did you read this or no?
Yeah, I've got all.
Oh, you picked it up? Yeah, but Josh, you've been reading it, right?
Yeah, actually, I didn't buy the last issue because I didn't have it, but I read Connor's.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought it meandered a little bit in the middle. We kind of stopped talking about it because it wasn't
issue four happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess. That may have been happening. I'm not sure.
But I thought it came together. I thought it did really. I thought it came together very nicely.
I thought it was I thought it was a proper ending. I think it was too long.
Yeah, Josh and I talked about how it could have easily been a four issue miniseries and been much tighter.
Maybe three
issue miniseries.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think at the end I understood what it was finally, but it took me a long time to understand what it was. Like, Britannia is Britpop, and it is personified by a character.
Yep.
And I liked the end of it, but I felt like the part when she realized that and decided I'm going to be done, that should have happened at the end of the book.
Yeah.
Because it felt like the big moment happened in the first few pages – and then it was wandering around, not unlike Ron's favorite Lord of the Rings 3 or maybe Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, okay, the story's over, end the story a little bit, I guess. But I thought that this one was really clear. It made that sort of abstract concept really clear. I liked the idea that, you know, Britpop's made two appearances. You should die, you know, you should die with some dignity.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know what, you're right. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah,
I think his art is still fantastic.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm really, really excited for there's a teaser on the back cover for Suburban Glamour, Jamie McKelvey's next book. And the thing I feel bad for him is that it looks to be music based as well because the ad has a little Polaroid of a guy and a girl, and the girl kind of looks like the girl from Phonogram, and there's a pair of earbuds, and there's a pin, you know, the little 1-inch pin, and. So I hope he doesn't get pigeonholed as just the guy who draws music stuff, kind of like China Clugston has.
Yeah.
Not that I'll love it, and I'll eat it all up, but it's just I love his art. The art is great.
I think that this is a book. It's for such a specific audience. I don't know how they sell enough books.
Yeah.
I mean, totally. It's such a specific audience.
But it was good. I mean, it ended on a high note, and I really liked it. So and the thing is, I'm going to be a total geek for it. I'm going to pick up the trade. I'm going to get everything, and you know. So it's.
You know what's funny is I was saying that the really only lasting effect of this book is since the first one I've been listening to a lot of Oasis.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I mean, but I always skip things when they're popular, and I come back to them 5 to 10 years later.
Yeah,
that's what happened with that. So.
All right. Cool. So, it was a good week for comics. Loved it.
It was. I was really looking forward to coming here and talking about them this week.
Yeah. Yay. So, and this year's show is sponsored by Netflix.
This year's show?
This here show is sponsored by Netflix.
I'm going deaf.
Netflix.com. They've got, by signing up for a new account, they've got over 75,000 titles. This is the service where you can go online. I'm sure everybody's heard of Netflix by now. You can go online. You can pick your movies. They mail them to you. You mail them back. When you're done watching them, no late fees, free shipping. It's super. They got plans starting from $4.99, and if you sign up, you get a free 2-week trial. So head over to www.netflix.com/ifanboy. That's www.netflix.com/ifanboy and register today. So,
Excellent. Listener mail time. First one up is from Heinrich. Heinrich A. Heinrich A. from Stockholm, Sweden.
Yeah.
He says, I know many readers are very faithful to their favorite creators and pick up anything written or drawn by them. I know I do. I mean, I dropped Ultimate Fantastic Four as soon as Millar left. Had no real interest in the title, but I like Mark Millar. The same goes for their favorite characters. I know people who pick up anything with Wolverine on the cover. But my question is, do you have any writers, artists, or characters that you avoid like the plague? I mean, I used to love John Byrne back in the 80s, and his run on She-Hulk was one of the funniest books ever written. I even like most of the issues of Next Men. But now, after Spider-Man Year One and Wonder Woman, and some other stuff he said, I wouldn't pick up a book by Byrne to save my life. And also, are there any titles or characters you wouldn't read no matter what the writer? Or can any character be cool if the book is written by the right guy? For example, I would never read a Spawn book, even if it was written by Alan Moore and drawn by Brian Hitch.
He did write Spawn.
Let's tackle the second question before the first.
Okay.
I would read anything if it was by a good creator.
Yes.
I don't think there are any characters I would limit myself. You know, if Bendis decides to write a four brush man miniseries, I'm going to read.
I'll at least give it a shot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't write anybody off, but there might be things that I'm not interested in for whatever reason, and I wouldn't. But if I heard like along the line that it was, you know, like this is pretty good, I would never say, oh, you know, I'm not going to read that because of this.
There's got to be some. Yeah, I mean, like if Bendis decided to do a Jack Kirby's New Gods miniseries, I'm probably not going to buy that
because
right? I'm not I'm not really into it. I've never, you know, like ironically enough, I've never gotten into the New Gods.
There's just some things I'm not interested in, like you know.
Right.
I'm for whatever reason, I wasn't interested in Annihilation. Not because I heard it was bad. I just don't want.
Right, but if Alan Moore was doing Annihilation?
Alan Moore's written a lot of stuff that I didn't read. You know, even Bendis does stuff that I didn't read.
Right, or Brubaker's doing Annihilation.
Brubaker's doing Ultimate X-Men, and I don't, or not Ultimate, Uncanny X-Men, and I don't read it.
Right.
Yeah, but you tried it.
Yeah, I did.
That's the point. Yeah. Was there anything you wouldn't even try?
I don't think so. Off the top of my head, I don't have a disdain against certain characters. Oh, you know what? Yeah, I don't ever read the Hulk.
All right, there you go.
I don't like the Hulk. I never have.
So Alan Moore and the Hulk, you wouldn't even give one issue?
No, I would probably read that. But that's Alan Moore, though.
It doesn't matter, though.
So what? It doesn't matter.
No character that you hate so much that you wouldn't even give it a shot.
The closest I would say is the Hulk, though.
Okay,
fair enough. So now the creators, this kind of gives into the dark side of things.
Oh, I know. And I was trying to think of. I know yours. I know the one.
Oh, writer. I've got a list here. It scrolls across the room.
Ron's is going to be longer than anybody's.
Oh fuck me! I don't even want to get into it, to be honest with you.
Okay, just get Rab out of the way.
Ben fucking Rab. Oh my god! I haven't seen his name on a comic book in years, and I hope he stays the hell away. Fucking ruined Excalibur.
Let me see if I can. I want to guess Ron's. Can we guess Ron's, Connor?
Sure.
Okay. Lobdell?
Oh, fucking Lobdell. God damn it. How many years did they before they took him off the goddamn book? Oh, my God. He ruined Uncanny.
But you'd still buy it if he got put on Uncanny.
I have every issue Lobdell wrote on Uncanny, and I would buy him every more that he bought after that.
Do you have a Zimmerman problem?
I have no Zimmerman problem. I'm not
Chuck
like you,
Austin.
Zimmerman. Chuck fucking Austin. God, that was nonsense. It made no sense.
Are these all people related to X-Men books?
Yes, they are.
Not Rab.
Rab Excalibur.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, my fucking baby. He killed it. Ironically, it got really good towards the end. Anyway. So
I think we should move on.
All right, move on. Yeah, so. What about you guys? Any creators that are the plague or no?
I think we should move on.
Okay, moving on. Our next email comes from David A. in Southern California.
South.
He was South California. You know,
SoCal is what we call it.
Across the tracks. All right, so he's at Barnes & Noble, and he sees they always have Japanese comic books, and the other books that have similar looks to them, next to the Western, as in culture, not genre, trade paperbacks. They offer more Japanese comics and books that are like them than the Western comics. Also, they all seem to have a bunch of kids only there reading Japanese comics. He's wondering, why are they so popular? I've read a couple, and they're the same series that he really likes, but how did they become so popular here, and why do there seem to be more choices in series of books rather than the other books? Now, this is really interesting because for our longtime listeners and iFanboy Faithful might remember, when was it, about a year ago maybe? Last August, I had the same realization when I was in a Barnes & Noble in Seattle, and I freaked the fuck out.
Yes.
Because I didn't understand why there was like 12 bookshelves of manga and Japanese comics and like 4 of graphic novels and Western comics. I didn't understand it either.
Because they sold.
Because I don't have the. My only guess is that those books are somehow Tokyo Pop and all those books and Naruto and all that kind of stuff got into Barnes and Noble while comics still struggle, and the 10-year-olds went from the cartoons like we did with the Transformers to toys, but they went from the cartoons and they saw the books at the Barnes and Noble and just bought them like wildfire. That's my only guess.
They're in there because they sell a lot. That's why.
Right, but there's a chicken and the egg problem. Like, how do they sell?
Because the Saturday morning cartoons for years and years and years were all
right. No, but they sell a lot because they were in there. It's a, you know what I mean? Like it's a supply and demand chicken and the egg kind of thing. It's like they're only selling because they're there, and they're only there because selling.
That would suggest that the comic books on the shelves would be selling too, and they're not.
Yeah, they're there too.
Well, no,
they're not. Well, it's not. No.
I think the argument could be made that there's not as much there as the Japanese. Like
if you had 12 shelves of manga and 12 shelves of Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse books, you would still see that manga would outsell Marvel, DC, Dark Horse by 10 times in those stores.
I don't know about that.
That's absolutely true. These are businesses. They wouldn't run that way otherwise.
Like, they would change it.
No, but like I said, I mean, I think that the books were there, and then they got bought, so they ordered more. And for years, and honestly, right now is the most amount of graphic novels and comics as we know them in these kind of stores.
Right, but
than ever.
The problem was that
3-4 years ago, when manga started emerging in Barnes and Noble, there wasn't as much of the traditional comics.
Now the kids are buying, and the kids who are sitting on the aisles reading the books are not kids who are ever going to buy a Marvel DC book. They're people who were raised on the.
I think that's really limiting. You don't know that they're never going to buy it. It's just that because given the option, they want some sort of comic book, and they see Naruto and they see it on TV, so they grab it and they read it.
I don't think that's right at all. I don't think that they see it as like this is the kind of comic book I want. It's different. Right. It's a culture thing.
Yeah, it's a culture.
This is the kind of media I want. It's because it's Japanese anime inspired comics and things like that. And that's a completely different animal to them as comics that we're more familiar with.
Right. I don't think we're ever going to figure it out.
Well, we did. We figured it out. They're more popular.
Right. They're more. Yeah. But I don't think you can. We know for sure it's what you're saying or what I'm saying.
Listen, I don't know any young people.
Right.
I don't talk to them. I avoid them on the train. They're scary to me.
So, but this ties into the next email, which is from Tracy from Roanoke, Virginia. Isn't that the Lost Colony?
Yeah, that's where all the graphic novel sales went.
Tracy's been thinking about the predominance of men in comics culture and was always left with the question of why she's the only gal who walks by the comics aisles in Barnes & Noble and dares to venture into the regrettably smelly, local comic store. So
People just have bad shops.
Yeah, she says there also seems to be a lack of female artisans contributing to the major comic lines, and they all have big names, as we mentioned in the podcast, but she can't recall a single woman amongst them. She's left to wonder what keeps women away from the fascinating mode of storytelling, both in production and consumption. Is the content, lack of marketing, the smelly boys?
It's a perfect storm.
It's a perfect storm, and I think it's a similar situation as why is manga popular? Why aren't comics popular with girls? Is because it's accessibility and it's access.
Also,
a long-standing
stigma and culture of boyism.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, like a lot. I'm guessing that a lot of girls would find a great deal of interest in modern graphic novels because they're not. You know,
we know that's true because we know a lot of them who read them.
I certainly do, and it took me a long time to get my wife to be reading things regularly. And now she doesn't read Marvel books like I do. She's not interested in that. But there's still a whole lot of other stuff that she is interested in. And even so, like there's enough women can be interested in Marvel stuff. They just when I say Marvel, DC, superhero, mainstream stuff. But I don't know why. I mean, I guess it's kind of
it's a cultural stigma, yeah. It's a boys club, but it's still predominantly a boys club.
And the thing is that there have always been women. I mean, like Ann Nocenti and Louise Simonson and stuff.
Huge.
Like that. Yeah, they've always been there. And there are other great role models and women in comics. I mean, Becky Cloonan, there's Gail Simone. There's they're women who really love the medium and are working in it. Mm-hmm. But it's tough because shit blowing up and muscles and stuff like that. It tends to be a boys' thing.
I think Wizard went a long way in propagating that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas we've been to a lot of comic conventions. There are girls there, and there is material there for them. And while there are booths with chicks in bathing suits and stuff, there's a lot of it that's very gender neutral. And I think I think that. If you're in Roanoke, Virginia, maybe you're in more of a rural area. But I find it, as you get to, in the city, it's less so.
Yeah, I mean, like, and also it's like Connor was saying, the perfect storm, and she was talking about the smelly boys in the comic stores. Comic stores need to change, too. And we've got stores like Isotope in San Francisco and Rocket Ship in Brooklyn and even Midtown in Manhattan,
sure.
You know, like, the, you know, where there are a lot of women in those stores when I'm there. And because they're accessible and they're better retailing places than, you know, the Android's Dungeon, you know.
And they don't feel like they're going to get leered at if they go there.
Yeah.
As opposed to a little hole-in-the-wall local place, which is like where two guys, you know, hold court all day.
Right. And how many years were comics always thrust with baseball cards? I mean, that's what we grew up in. I went to the baseball card store to buy my comics when I started. Yeah, you know, so it's interesting, you know.
Well, you're dealing with decades of culture that you're fighting. I mean, it's much better now than it used to be, but it's going to be a long time before it's truly like an equal gender medium.
So, Tracy, you should open a comic book store in Roanoke and make it accessible to girls.
We do our part here. We try to do what we can.
Yeah. Think globally, act locally.
Dave from Tacoma Park, Maryland says, I'm slowly working my way through Walking Dead by reading the trades. I'm about to finish off Volume 4. I'm starting to think that there are too many splash or one-panel pages. I call them big panel pages because they don't seem that different from most other pages in the books, except for the fact that there's only one panel on the page. It's kind of like a movie or television character overusing a close-up or playing music to cue the audience as to how he or she wants to have them feel. To me, a splash page is more fun than just a close-up. In fact, it doesn't have to be a close-up and quite often isn't. Maybe if the artwork wasn't quite so spare, I wouldn't be so critical. What do you think? Are there any too many one-page panels in Walking Dead?
Ooh, can I?
Yes.
Go for it.
Hey, a close-up and a splash page are completely opposite. That's the point. It's an establishing shot. I actually just finished reading the 6th volume, I think, of The Walking Dead last night. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I mean, like, that is as masterful a comic book as I keep going through. Like, I was telling Connor that I'll read one issue or stop. I can't even find the spots in that trade where the issues stop.
It's funny you say that because I'm on the hardcovers, and I just finished book 2 of the hardcovers, and I blew through it in a night.
Yep.
And I literally, at 3 points in the book, I said, where do the issues start and end here?
I cannot tell.
It was fascinating. It's amazing.
I'm glad you felt that way too, because what am I missing?
Like, I don't know if he planned it to do it that way, but if he did, that's genius. Dude.
Yeah.
Talk about amazing.
Because it reads like a novel more so in trade form. I don't know what that book is going to be like in issues, but I cannot stop reading.
No, you can't. You have to go through it. I don't think I've ever read a Walking Dead trade in more than one sitting.
You can.
I see what you're saying, and I definitely think that there are books that over... I think in some superhero books, when I see splash pages, I'm like, there's 2 pages I've lost. I don't feel that way with Walking Dead, though. Mm. I feel like it's paced very well. But maybe it's different if you read it in issues. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, he's reading in trades. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, dude. It's a damn good book, though.
It's a personal preference, I think.
Yeah, maybe. So.
Josh, do you want to tell the people about...
Well, if you are thinking, God, these people won't shut up about The Walking Dead, and I feel like I'm missing something. And in fact, if you're not reading it, you are, if you're saying I don't like zombies or whatever. But a really good place to go get trades or comics is comichole.com, which is where I believe we got Ron's first volume of The Walking Dead trade.
Infected me with the zombie virus.
So good. They've got all new Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image books, all that, 40% off. You can go there and you can pre-order the regular books that you want. You can get, you know, the subscription service. You can do all sorts of things like that every month. They'll automatically send them to you. They also have, you know, trades and hardcovers. Those are all 30 to 50% off, which is a not insignificant savings. So go over to comichole.com and let them know that iFanboy were the people who told you to do that. And they ship real good and they're very fast, and it's a good place to do the business.
Awesome.
I actually meant, did you want to tell them about the Kirkman video show that was coming up?
I'm so ready to just flog. So this Wednesday, coming out, keep your eye on your RSS reader or ifanboy.com, and there's going to be a show that has something to do with Big Bobby K, who has never been called that before and will never be called that again.
All right, so on to the voicemail. So before we dive into the voicemail, we want to reset the expectations and the rules of the voicemail. All right, we love getting the voicemail. We've gotten a ton of voicemail over the past couple of weeks. Like, seriously,
way
like
more than normal, yeah.
Way more than normal, which is awesome. So keep calling.
Which makes you think, why isn't mine getting read? It's tougher competition.
So we wanted to give a little handy guide to your guide to getting your voicemail on the iFanboy podcast. Number one, leave your name and where you're from. Tell us, start off, hey, this is Ron from Connecticut or Connor from Brooklyn or whatever. That's the
Don't
number
say
one.
That, though, because we'll know you're lying.
Right. Say it about you. Number two, keep it succinct, 30 seconds. You know, we as much as we love to hear you talk about your opinions and ramble and stuff like that, a 2.5-minute voicemail nobody really wants doesn't really work. So just get to the point and get in, get out. You don't have to be funny. You don't have to be, you know what I mean? No pressure to do voices or anything like that. Just, you know, get on, tell us who you are, what your question is, and get off. So.
Right. No, it's true.
So, yeah. So,
it's the harsh reality of show business, people.
Sadly, it is. We only have so much time. So, so that said, our first voicemail wants some answers.
Hey, guys. I love the show. And, you know, last week, talking about 52 and Strangers in Paradise, so I went to the comic shop and picked them up. And they were okay. I was a little bit confused. So I was wondering if you could just take maybe 30 seconds and bring up speed on both of those, because that'd be great. Thanks.
So you're saying, and I want to get this clear, you want a 30-second roundup of 14 years of Strangers in Paradise and a year of weekly comic books. That's not going to happen. And if you really did go in and buy 52, number 52, and Strangers in Paradise 89 of 90, that's not going to work.
You might have to go back and get the back
issues.
That's
not good. I remember I bought Preacher issue 49, and I thought, what is this crap?
In a pinch, go to Wikipedia or go to there's a lot of good websites that have a lot of information.
Just go,
stuff like that.
You're gonna have to read the story.
Well, yeah, I mean, ultimately, read. But if you can't afford all the books, go. You want to know who the characters are? Go to where the resources
wait till
are.
You
go
can
to, actually go to StrangersInParadise.com. He's got a great bios of the characters
wait
and stuff
till you
like
can
that
afford
there.
Because otherwise, you're blowing the story like that.
I came into the last 5 minutes of Return of the King, and I'm confused.
Who's the short exactly. guy with the bare feet?
So I put on Return of the Jedi, and they were having like a barbecue, and then it ended. What happened before that? It was. So, anyway,
why did
right,
they cut that guy in black?
All right, so this is Josh's favorite voicemail in a long time.
Hi, iFanboy. This is Cameron from San Diego, and I'm just wondering, I've been hearing rumors that at the end of World War Hulk, Hulk's going to get so mad that he's going to completely destroy the 616 universe. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but after reading the end of Black Panther number 27, is there any possibility that there's a multiverse in the Marvel universe, like Ultimate 616 and then like Marvel Zombies? Alrighty, thanks.
What I find fascinating is that he referred to Earth 616.
It's numbered for a reason.
I know. There is a multiverse in Marvel.
It's been for years.
It's been for at least 30 years now. They're designated with numbers, so the Marvel Universe that we read every day is Marvel 616. Ultimate Universe has a number designate. Zombie Universe has a number designate. They're all out there. Maybe I'll write an article and post it on iFanboy just as a primer to this, but it is out there, and the origins were from Captain Britain. That's where the origins of the multiverse within Marvel.
I would think you'd have to be crazy, not that I'm calling you crazy, Cameron, but crazy to think that they're going to destroy the main Marvel universe after they spent all this time doing Civil War and all these other things and building it up. And
although that'd be pretty badass.
It would be pretty rock and roll.
It would be a bold choice.
Okay.
You know what? I dare you, Marvel.
It would be a bold choice, like hyping up Captain America 25 in the mainstream media, then not releasing another book for a month.
What? What? I don't know what you're talking
choice.
About.
That's a too bad much. Choice.
That's an unfortunate choice. Okay, our next caller wants to know where to find us.
So politic.
Hey, guys, it's John from Brooklyn just giving you a call. First off, I love the podcast. It's my favorite out of all the comic book podcasts that I listen to. I just had a quick question. I was wondering if you guys were actually going to be going to a Wizard World over in Philadelphia in June. I've never been to a convention before, and I was thinking that maybe this would be a good one to start off going to. So I was just curious if you guys were going to be there, and hopefully you will. All right, take care. Bye.
John, why didn't you go to the New York Con?
Yeah, we're right there.
We are not going to be at Wizard World Philadelphia because that is the same weekend as Heroes Con in North Carolina. We're going to be there.
Because all the Charlotte iFanboy folks wanted us there.
And frankly, there's better barbecue in North Carolina than there is in Philadelphia.
Although there's good cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
F that.
In Philly, yeah, it's a good point. So so we're not going to be in Philly, but you can catch us in Charlotte. That's June 15th, 16th, and 17th at HeroesCon. And then in July, you can catch us at the big old San Diego Comic-Con where everybody in the world will be. So that's where you can find us this summer.
If you're going to be at HeroesCon, say hi.
And also, Ron's address is 542.
Nice. There's a contingent that wants us in Chicago in August, but we'll see about that. So,
all right. I think Ron's planning a secret trip for that.
I just, ever since you went, I really want deep dish pizza. I'm dying. So anyway.
Tell them that. They'll think they've won.
Okay, so if you want to get in touch with iFanboy, you can email us at contact@iFanboy.com or you can leave a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697.
Yay.
Whew. This is a marathon, boys.
Yeah, so don't forget to go to iFanboy.com where you can talk about all the other books of the week, the books we didn't get to talk to or react to, our opinions and things on this show. iFanboy.com.
And as we mentioned earlier, we come out with a video show every Wednesday around 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. This week, something to do with Kirkman. But if it's different than this show. So if you don't know about the video show, go to iFanboy.com or go to our lovely partners, revision3.com/iFanboy, and watch the previous episodes and look us up on iTunes and go and enjoy it.
You can also go to myspace.com/iFanboy, comicspace.com/iFanboy, Facebook.com, you got to search for us.
Yeah.
And then VIRB.com/iFanboy. If you're a member of any of those social networking sites, please come and be our friend. We would appreciate that.
Yeah, if you like the show, you can go vote for us at PodcastAlley.com or leave us a review on iTunes for this show or the video show.
Or both.
Say hi.
And podcasts at Dig.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can dig that. So, and also, if you have your friends that read comics or your comic book store, just tell them about the show. If you haven't
heard
about it.
Pass the word along.
And if you dig what we do, you can go to ifanboy.com/donations, and you could donate to the cause, and you can go through PayPal. It's real simple and easy. So,
yay, it's over.
Yay, good week. Yay, Nova. So I'm glad. So are you going to continue to buy Nova, Josh?
No, I liked it. I'll definitely read the next one.
You'll read it till you stop.
I will read it until I stop. Until there's one bad issue.
I know,
I'm
exactly.
I'm like the world's most fickle girlfriend. Don't piss me off, because I'll kick you to the curb.
All right, so I think that wraps it up. I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh. Don't piss me off or I'm not talking to you anymore.
I'll drop you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over. In your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.